Tell me a little bit about organizing in Vermont, and as someone that's an organizer in Vermont, what's that experience like?
Well, I'm very new to the organizing community. I've been in it for about a year now, and prior to organizing, I kind of seen things happening around me. But in terms of just the place that I'm from, which is Vermont, there wasn't really that much stuff going on in terms of demonstration. I believe for some reason, Vermont was just not very active, especially even after the murdering of George Floyd. So I'm a part of this organization called, I'm actually one of the co-founders of this organization called The Black Perspective, and we're based in Vermont. And we started off demonstrating, you know, just doing demonstration in Vermont, and it's been very successful. We've had over, you know, 1,000 people show up to our demonstration, and that was like start off. You know, we had no prior experience demonstrating, but like it was very successful, and we knew that we had the skills. So we just continue on doing that for a while. Then slowly what we started doing was like, okay, we got to focus on education too. You know, I believe like after people go home, they still need to go home and know what to do when they go home. After you're done chanting Black Lives Matter, what do you do? What do you do at inside your house? What are the conversations about? You know, who do you need to talk to? Because really, we have to understand the people that are doing this this damage, the people that are working in the system, do have family members. They're not people that are aliens. They're human beings. They have brothers and sisters, and their brothers and sisters are probably attending Black Lives Matter protests. So you should also be talking to your uncle, who is a police officer, that's probably a part of the system that is destroying Black people and minorities in general.
And tell us specifically what kind of organizing, what kind of actions have you all been doing in Burlington and Vermont over the last year?
Of course, yes. So we started off obviously with the demonstrations, and then slowly we started doing community events, and then we did a encampment at Battery Park, Burlington, Vermont. We did a month-long encampment, and it was very successful. We got one officer fired. But we wanted three of them fired, but we only got one, and it was good for one. You know, it's like it's whatever. We didn't really think there was going to be that much success because of the fact that we just thought the police were not going to listen to us. But it was successful. We did it for a month. We got one officer fired. But what was going on within that encampment that was also very beautiful was that we were doing mutual aid. We were taking care of the homeless community. And we were feeding them, and we were feeding anyone that really came to the park. So that was something that was beautiful about the encampment. We were, just educating everybody that came to the encampment. People slept there. Whoever that could slept there. Whoever that didn't want to sleep there, they came when there were demonstrations. Like, we had, like, a schedule for daily activities, so people knew what was happening and when it was happening. And it was very organized. And the best part was it was ran 100% by Black people, meaning there were white people all over the spot, but we just made the decision to decenter white leadership, and everybody was okay with that, and it was great. We were not, you know, abusing white people there. Everybody was working together. We made sure that everybody was treated fairly and equally. But it was beautiful. It was a great environment, and you can definitely read about it. It was the Battery Park encampment in Burlington, Vermont.
Can you talk about some of the challenges that face Black people in particular in Vermont, and also Black activists and organizers? I know Vermont is a majority white state, and that's not to ignore the, you know, diversity of, you know, folks that do live there. But it also has, I think, too, a lot of people see Vermont as a uniquely very, like, progressive state, but that might also cover up a lot of the, you know, the racism and the history of that in Vermont. So can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so it is true. People view Vermont to be very progressive, but the reality is completely different. I have seen people get mistreated by the police department numerous times, and there was no action that was taken to give those individuals justice. And one of the main reasons why those individuals were not given justice is because we just did not cover it. And I mean, honestly, I'm gonna have to try to just like name drop some of the people that were involved. It's gonna have to be the media. I think the media plays a huge role in this. So when there is, you know, this incident where there's clearly racism, the media would not cover it because people don't want to read about that. And so for that reason, people don't even know that it's happening. And then in addition, like obviously, even if the media doesn't cover it, injustice is injustice. It doesn't have to go into the media for people to for it to be deemed as injustice. I think that is very clear. But obviously, that just shows where they stand in terms of like their default behavior when it comes to racism, which is to not address it. So Vermont is definitely a state that needs to definitely change its way.
More recently, there's been an upsurge of protests in the U.S. and also around the world, specifically in response to, you know, apartheid in Israel and Palestine and the Israeli military assault on Palestinians and ethnic cleansing there. You know, in the background, we can both hear Burmese revolutionary songs that are being sung. We're here just outside of a Burmese rally in Utica, organized by the, you know, the peoples from Burma, Myanmar, who live here in Utica in solidarity with their revolution at home. Can you talk a little more about, you know, there's Palestine, there's Burma, all these other issues, and how are they related? How are they connected? Where do you see that connection?
Well, I believe in something that's called collective liberation. So obviously, when black people needed support from the community, the general world, people came out and protested and supported us, especially when George Floyd was murdered. That is not a one-way thing. And what I mean by that is black people are going to have to do the same for other communities. Just because the person that got murdered wasn't black doesn't necessarily mean that it's not a black problem. Because it's the system that murdered that, even for example, white person, was the same system that murdered that black person. Because when you really look into this issue, there's also class involved. So even poor immigrants, poor white people, all of them are all involved in this situation, and they're all people that are going to be needing our support. And we have to come together to dismantle this general system. And you know, obviously, race is a huge problem, but class and also obviously our immigration system it's all just the same. And black people are going to have to take the stand and support all these different other issues, even outside of America, because if we're going to expect other people to say Black Lives Matter, then we're going to have to, you know, do the same thing for other people that are saying our lives matter too. You know, I think that just makes sense. So collective liberation is something that is very important. And black people are going to have to support all these other problems, because together we're going to get exactly what we want.
And I want to dig a little deeper at just your personal thoughts on the past year specifically. I mean, you said yourself, you're a newer activist, newer organizer. Black Lives Matter is really the largest upsurge in rebellion of sorts since the rebellion of the 1960s and 70s in this country. It's not as big as it was, say, last summer when it started, but, you know, as you're showing in Burlington, Vermont, organizing is still going on. But a lot's happened this year with the rebellion, with the, you know, killings from police officers, with the pandemic and all these other things. I mean, as someone that's newer in this movement, how do you keep going without getting burnt out?
Well, you gotta have allies. First things first, this job does not pay. You don't get paid to be an activist. I'm sorry. It just doesn't happen. You just have to have the passion, and you're just gonna have to have the will. I mean, even not just an activist, also the people that are also involved in the activist community, like obviously reporters and photographers. They're all individuals that might not be getting as much money as they should, especially to cover something like this, because of the fact that it's just, there's no system in place that will support this. Actually, the system is against you doing something like that, because you're going against him. So it's very unfortunate. But for me, as a new activist, the way I deal with it is by surrounding myself with the right people, and making sure that I'm taking a step back when I need to just like, you know, just like focus on myself, do something different that is not the type of work that I'm doing right now. Because I think that is very important. You can't just be on this type of work 24/7, because you're gonna have mental health is something that is very important within activism. Like, people don't want to take the step back because they believe that if they take a step back, the revolution is gonna be slowed down. But really, in reality, the revolution will never slow down. You have to take a step back so that the revolution can keep going. So you have to take that step back. You know, I think it's very important. So mental health is very important. Surrounding yourself with the right people and making sure that you're a part of some sort of coalition, some sort of system, so that you guys can at least find a way to fund yourselves. Because really, you still have bills to pay. You still have, you know, things that you have to pay for. So being in a coalition is going to help at least create some sort of a source of income for you to support yourself. But yes, it's just like surrounding yourself with the right people, taking a step back. Mental health is very important. And, you know, at the end of the day, really, you're the most important part of this whole situation. So you have to make sure you take care of yourself, because we need you to be at your best self, so that you can perform at your best and give the best speech, you know. So it's very important for you to take care of yourself. So self-care it is.